Alleluia, Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and their fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt becomes insipid, with what will you restore its flavor? Keep salt in yourselves, and you will have peace with one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Been pondering throughout the week the book of Sirach, which is all about God's wisdom, how to live aright, how to see things from God's perspective. And today we get to the need for mercy, that the truly wise person will recognize his or her sins and approach God in his mercy. "Rely not on your wealth, saying, 'I have the power,' not on your strength, and following the desires of your hearts. Don't think who can prevail against you, who will subdue you for your deeds. Don't say, 'I have sinned, yet nothing's happened to me.' Don't be overconfident about forgiveness, adding sin upon sin. Here's the wise way. All of those ways were foolish." Mercy and anger are alike with God. Delay not your conversion. Put it not off one day more. For suddenly his wrath will flame forth, and at the time of your vengeance you'll be destroyed. What's Ben Sirach getting to there? The devil's greatest excuse in preventing our conversion is getting us to think that there's always time. There's always another day. I can stop it tomorrow or next week or later when I'm older. Great wisdom comes from the urgency of conversion. There's a perpetual urgency needed for perpetual conversion. We should be always saying what we're going to hear next Wednesday in the second reading. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. As an ambassador of Christ, St. Paul will appeal to us to be reconciled to God now. There's great wisdom that comes from this. We've talked before about the wisdom of living every day as if it is our last, because that will help us to draw everything out of that day and will prioritize aright the most important things. We'll prioritize charity. We'll prioritize prayer. I think we'll prioritize the best confession we've ever made. Wisdom. Today's gospel, Jesus builds on this lesson, but he contextualizes it even further. Where have we been journeying this week with Jesus? If you remember back a few days, as you do in that masterpiece mosaic, which is your heart, putting one tesseract next to another, the whole week has been about greatness. When Jesus says, that he's going to die, the apostles start asking themselves along the journey, who's going to be the greatest? Jesus gave them the criteria for true greatness: to be the servant of all the rest, to welcome children in his name who can't repay you, can't even say thanks. And the Lord continued talking about greatness. Greatness in incorporating those, like we heard yesterday, who might not be wearing the same uniform, but may be doing the Lord's work. Today, the first aspect of the greatness has to do with simple acts of charity. Sometimes we can say, what can I do? The problems are way too big for me. And Jesus says, even if we give a cup of cold water to somebody who is thirsty, you're already making a huge difference. And giving a cup of cold water is within the realm of possibility of almost all of us. There are many little things we can do that, placed into the Lord's hands, can quench the thirst of the entire world. But we've got to be willing to do great, to see greatness through the little ordinary things of every day. Then Jesus gets to the greatness that's needed in order to excise from our existence anything, first, that would cut us off from him, and second, that would lead others to cut themselves off from him. Talks to us about cutting off hands and feet and plucking out eyes. They lead us to sin. He's talking very clearly about near occasions. Are we wise enough to confront with brutality the near occasions of our sins? Or are we foolish, thinking that we can continue to play with that type of fire and we're never going to get hurt? But then also he talks about the wisdom that other people are always learning from us the gospel. And if we're seeking after greatness in the only way that matters, greatness in the love of the kingdom of God, then we have to always be aware of the example that we're setting. And Jesus says it would be better for one to be drowned in the Sea of Galilee with his arms tied behind his back and a millstone around his neck for him to go straight to the 160 feet at the bottom and die there. Better for that to happen than to lead one little person to sin. So Jesus is speaking to us with real clarity about the approach that we should have to the near occasion. Now, those are going to be big battles. It's not easy. But he wants us to have that focus, to be able to turn to him and say, I don't want to pluck out my eye, Jesus, but please help me to see you in others. I don't want to chop off my hand, Jesus, but please let me use my hands to pray and then to hand out in charity whatever people need. I don't want to axe off my feet, but please help me to use my feet to cross the road to care for others. To begin to look at every aspect of our life has been given to us in order to love, to look at every opportunity in this way. That's the path of true wisdom. But it's not an easy path. At the very end, you have this threefold aphorism, you could say, about fire and salt. It's important for us to grasp because it really is the exclamation point on all Jesus has said about this path to greatness. He says, first, everyone will be salted with fire. God's going to send us situations that are meant to help preserve our faith. Salt had three purposes in the ancient world, we remember. First and foremost, it was a preservative. Second, it lended flavor. Third, it was a fire starter. Mixed with dung, you'd light the dung on fire to serve as charcoals. everyone will be salted with fire. Jesus is going to give us crucibles, as we heard yesterday, precisely to help us to cut off near occasions so that we can truly love. Second aspect, salt is good, but if salt becomes insipid, with what will you restore its flavor? Jesus wants us to keep our salt salty. He wants us to be the salt of the earth, and for that reason, he salts us with himself. He salts us with God the Holy Spirit as this purifying fire. But then he finishes, keep salt in yourselves and you'll have peace with one another. You know, sacrifices at the temple, before anything would be able to be offered, it would have to be salted. The ox, the lamb, the pigeons would have to be salted in preparation for the sacrifice. Likewise, Jesus is salting us with himself precisely for the sacrifices that are required to excise sin and to love according to his standard. And once we retain this salt of fire that God gives us, then we're willing to sacrifice for each other. And the little things like a cup of water, in the constant awareness of trying to set the real example of the faith, which is the example of joy that flows from God is with us, of the love that he radiates from his Sacred Heart through our human hearts. When we have this type of salt within, we will have peace with each other, because the salt preserves us from the types of things that cause disharmony. Today, God says to us about this path of wisdom. Receive the word of God as it truly is. Praise be Jesus Christ.